Hey everyone, Matt Williamson. How are you? Enough of pleasantries. Let's just dig right in. I got a lot I need to talk to you guys about. First of all, I'm recording this on Wednesday. I will not record a podcast Thursday, but I will do one Friday late morning after I knock out a couple other things that'll break down what we see Thursday night. Odd week, of course. So we're pushing a lot of things into a short amount of time here. My article for the week just hit the site. Please check it out. Lots of What About Bob references there. A great movie. Bill Murray's awesome. Baby steps. All about the Steelers O-line. And it's making baby steps forward. I've told you that for a while. You'll find that I am not a huge Pro Football Focus fan for their grades in general. Or, you know, O-line grades across the board. But in this instance, it's a little bit hard to back your argument that I've been making for a while that this O-line is getting better. So I'm going to go and quote the ESPN O-line rankings and win rates and things like that, as well as Pro Football Focus's. And it's a little eye-opening. And again, I don't think what they say is gospel. That's not what I mean here. I'm just kind of backing my argument that this line might not even be the offensive problem. Again, read the article. It's a little more in-depth. But more so, it's getting better, especially Chooks and the two guards. The other two don't stink, but Chooks and the two guards are keepers. They are quality starters. And here's a couple numbers that are outside of my opinion to go here. And so here's a couple things. Where are we at here? Okay, I told you after the preseason game, losing to the Jags time and time again. And again, what I like these numbers for O-line is one-on-one matchups, much more so because when these guys don't know the protection schemes and blown assignments when they set these grades out. But if it's a one-on-one matchup, Dan Moore versus Garrett, I trust these guys to get it right that this guy won, this guy lost, you know, whatever. And I told you that the Jags whipping up on a rebuild O-line in the preseason isn't as bad as you think it is. And, well, the Jags are third right now in pass rush win rate. The Bengals are seventh. And New England's run defense is 9 for ESPN's ranking. So those aren't, you know, no-brainer, you know, terrible teams that they've gone against. And this might blow you away. The Steelers' pass blocking for ESPN is 10th in the league, tied with Tampa Bay. The Steelers' run blocking is 23rd, which may even be a little generous. I mean, I think the protection is much better than the run blocking. I mean, again, I'm not defending this O-line like it's flawless. But the point of my article is they're making baby steps forward, and I'm not sure it's the problem here, you know, and it's getting better. Everyone just assumes the O-line's horrible. Pro Football Focus has the Steelers' pass protection at 7th. 7th in the league, 7th best pass blocking in the league. ESPN has them at 10th. They also have their run blocking at 19th, and ESPN's is at 23rd. So some of the guys they've gone against also are very high in these metrics as well, ESPN's. You know, DJ Reader is 3rd. He is a monster, and there's some clips of him in this article that are pretty impressive. He is going to destroy everybody he plays against. He's 3rd in interior D-line metric. Like, he's in Aaron Donald land right now. Trey Hendricks is 7th amongst the edge rushers. And the Patriots have 2 of the best run stuffers. And Dietrich Wise, he's an edge guy. He was 3rd. And Davon Godshaw was 8th amongst the interior guys. So I always like to cite who they're playing against. When you look at ESPN's tackle rankings, Chooks is 10th among all tackles in pass blocking. James Daniels is 2nd. 2nd. Amongst all guards, they don't have anyone in the top 10 at tackle, guard, or center in run blocking, which, again, the run blocking is much worse than the protection. That's right. I'm telling you here. In terms of overall grades for Pro Football Focus right now, if you go look at their tackles, it goes Andrew Thomas. He was like the 6th pick overall. Rashawn Slater, he was like the 11th. Laremy Tunsil should have been like the 4th if it wasn't for the bong mask. And then Chooks Okorafor is 4th. So again, I'm just kind of backing my point here that these guys might not be as bad as you think. Pro Football Focus, just so happens Dotson and Daniels tie as the 19th best guards in the league. You'll take that. I mean, if you give me the 18th and 19th, 19th and 20th best guards in the league that's starting 64 guards every day, I'll take that. And Daniels is their third best guard in protection. So I just wanted to throw those out there. Go check out the article. More importantly, there's a lot more there than what I just said. There's a lot more context. But just wanted to throw those numbers out that maybe Williamson's not crazy, that this O-line is coming along, you know, and baby steps, folks. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then I want to run down some of the Thursday night matchups that I'm most curious about. This one, in terms of finding intricate matchups, I'll throw a few at you, but there's two that matter. It's stopping Chubb and Hunt, who, frankly, are splitting snaps. They're basically 50-50. I mean, Chubb has a slight advantage, but he's the better player. They're a very run-oriented offense, and their offense has been quite good this year, and Chubb's an elite player, and Hunt's the best backup you'll ever find. So that's the matchup, whether you want to call that Miles Jack, Cam Hayward, you know, blocking, whatever, tackling, whatever. And Miles Garrett. And Garrett, I don't know if he's playing or not, but he's fighting a neck injury. On these short weeks, I don't really trust the practice reports and medicals as much because rest him, just get him there for Thursday. You know, I'm guessing he'll play. Back to the O-line situation and Chooks. They'll move Garrett around, but he's mostly going to come off Trubisky's blind side against Moore. I would be blown away if he is not getting help more, that is, against Garrett every pass snap that those two line up against each other. Which means, Chooks, you probably got the other dudes. And the other dudes, without Clowney, aren't very good. And that's one of the matchups to me here to watch. As we just talked O-line, Miles Garrett aside, and wow, if he doesn't play, this is triply, quadruply true. The rest of their D-line, especially with Clowney out, is not very good. I mean, before the season, I often said that I thought the Browns' D-tackle room, you know, position group, was amongst the worst in the league. I have very little evidence to change my opinion. I mean, there's some young guys there that maybe get better, but all in all, it's just not a very good group. That's not where they invested. The backups behind Clowney and Garrett, we know Clowney's out. One of them was Winovich, a local dude here. He's out. I mean, so they're really digging deep. So, Garrett or not, I just talked up the O-line a little bit. I want to see the O-line win. I mean, they should win this trench battle. I mean, Garrett could wreck things, but, I mean, you have the ability to double him like crazy. So, I expect them to win this trench battle. Browns have had a lot of coverage issues, communication issues, allowing a lot of big plays. And I think their defensive backs are very talented and is a very good group. A lot of high picks, and most of them are basically living up to that pick. But the communication thing is something to watch there. And frankly, I think the Steelers receivers, including Freiermuth, aren't at a disadvantage against any secondary in the league. I mean, Deontay Johnson's open all the time. I expect more from Pickens. I do expect more downfield and intermediate throwing. So that could be a strength on strength if Cleveland doesn't screw it up mentally, doesn't screw up their assignments. So Steelers, pass catchers, you know, mostly the top three receivers and Muth versus their coverage guys is a matchup absolutely to watch. But the biggest one, of course, when the Steelers have the ball is what to do about Myles Garrett if he plays. On the other side, when the Browns have the ball, it's all about stopping those running backs. I mean, there's no way around that. However, they are without their right tackle, Conklin. I assume he won't play. He did not play last week, and this is a short week, and he hasn't practiced yet, so I'm assuming he's out. Do you move Highsmith over there? I mean, they don't have Hubbard either. Remember Chris Hubbard? He's not going to be there either. So they're on a third-string right tackle, basically, who's a second-year player, Hudson, who isn't particularly strong. He's an athlete. He's a work in progress that needs to beef up and get heavier and learn technique. But he's kind of a project for down the road. Might you move Highsmith over him? I expect a lot of the same looks we saw with New England, with Leal there, Hayward, Wormley, maybe even standing up, particularly Leal. Maybe they overpower him, especially in the run game. So I think that's something to watch. Their center is their third center as well, Posick. I mean, he's really a backup. But their guards are fantastic, and they are high-quality dudes. I want to see a little more out of Cam. I have no right to give Cam a hard time. He's awesome, but he should battle Teller and Betonio and win more than he did last week. Betonio is also on the injury list. I'm guessing he'll play as well. Again, don't trust short week, you know, medical stuff all that much. So to keep an eye on the guards, but their center and right tackle are problematic. The guards are really good. The left tackle, Wills, was a ninth pick in the draft or whatever from Bama. Been up and down. He's still kind of learning as well. I mean, I think Highsmith should beat him a fair amount one-on-one too. Like, that's not a slam dunk advantage for Cleveland, Wills. Good player though. Probably bright future. The receivers, the Peoples-Jones, Njoku, and Cooper pretty much never leave the field. They're not super scary. I mean, Dale and I were talking about this the other day on the drive, that a lot of teams, Steelers included, have a hard time figuring out what five skill guys do we want out there, because we got six or seven or eight, when Austin comes back, how do we get him on the field, things like that. Well, the Browns have four. They don't have six, seven, or eight. I mean, they have Cooper, they have Njoku, and they have Peoples-Jones, and a back, Chubb or Hunt. They don't have a second tight end that's noteworthy. They're looking for a third receiver in a big way. So just something to know about their skill guys. Whoever that fifth guy is, and pay attention to it, they'll play a lot of double tight end sets. They used to play a lot of three tight end sets, but they don't have enough tight ends to go around to do that with Jesse James hurt. They don't want to be in 11 with three receivers all that much, because then you're getting guys out there that you don't trust. David Bell from Purdue, Anthony Schwartz is a small speedster type, but those guys are all fours. I mean, they don't have a three. And Peoples-Jones is the two. Njoku never leaves the field. Those guys are fine, but they're not, Kelsey. They're not great players. And Amari Cooper is a little bit overrated, in my opinion. He had a big week, good route runner, but I don't think he's a wide receiver one in this league. And, the Steelers skill guys are much better than these pass catchers. Not even close. So, those are some matchups to watch. Next time I will talk to you, we will have a game in hand, and the Steelers will be 1-2 or 2-1. So, there you have it. Thank you very much. Over and out.